In the mighty name of Jesus. Maybe see we, in Jesus' mighty name. Also got to say, God is good. Got to say it louder, though. Say it like you mean it. Yeah, I thought maybe I'd try to add some African vibe maybe to it as well. Well, it's good to see everyone. It's a blessing to be back. At first I had thought I might just share kind of a report, but then I decided I would share more on kind of what I say I would have learned through these trips, or a conclusion that I sort of came to. And the title is more or less, Are We Called to Be Elite Christians? So I guess first I will kind of, you might say, turn the spotlight on myself with this question. Are we called to be elite Christians? I feel like I have a strong mentality of myself to think myself kind of as an elite person, you might say. Like, in many ways, I mean, you know, I would say, you know, I'm from, not that I would just put a whole lot of weight on this, but, you know, I'm white, I'm German descent, and I was just reading today, or I thought about it also, you know, like Paul, like he had all these credentials, and in some ways, like, it feels kind of that way, but I know that that spirit is not a good spirit to have, and it's very easy, I would say, to, or I found myself often thinking that way, not as much in that aspect, but more like, you know, I've come from a godly home. I've, you know, lived a better life maybe than a lot of other people. I have, you know, you might say a decent work ethic. I have, you know, a lot of skills that I can do, and just a lot of things like that. And it's something that I struggle with a lot, is to look down on other people. Or it's something that I have to fight against and recognize that it's not anything of my virtue that I have all these things. Like it was mostly given me. And even just the capacity to learn things is something that was given me. So there's really nothing that I can accredit to my own wisdom or own understanding and efforts and all that. And so what I would kind of like to bring out is that we are not called to be elite Christians. We're just called to be a Christian. There's only one Christian standard. We don't have a low one and high ones. We have only followers of Christ. You're all brothers. And so I have some verses here. One would be Matthew 23:8. That would be where Jesus would have said that. It was when the disciples were arguing about who's the greatest. If I remember right, I didn't exactly write down here, and I wasn't exactly going to look up all these references. But he said that, try to think how he worded it in that place. But that, you know, the least among you, is the great one, something kind of along those lines. And then in Revelations 1:9, this may not be just in a very precise order, but like John wrote in Revelations 1:9, I, John, your brother and one who shares with you in the persecution, kingdom, and endurance that are in Jesus. And I just thought, like, if anyone would have had the rights to elevate themselves, it'd surely been the apostles. Like, I mean, they were sent out by Christ. They were walked with him for, you know, 3 years during his ministry. And this was John after he's an old man. And probably the last one of the apostles living and the most looked up. And he tries to maintain that he's a brother, not something higher. And then in Acts 10, verse 26, Peter's talking with Cornelius, and Cornelius, you know, falls down at his feet, and he says, you know, he helps him up and says, no, I'm also just a mere mortal. I'm not, you know, I'm not something special. And in Luke 9:48, for the one who is least among you is the one who is great. One thing I noticed about this, the way it was worded, at least in this translation, is that it's kind of like the same verse, like, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Like, he says, the one who is least among you is the great one. Not the one who thinks he's the least, the one or this or that. Like, and I don't know, it just kind of caught my attention. I don't know what it's worth. Another verse would have been Luke 9:46 through 50, or actually more than one verse, I guess. Matthew 18:1-4 would have been another place where the disciples would have been disputing maybe who's the greatest. And Matthew 20:26, he is, in that area he was talking about how the Gentiles, you know, control others. Or, you know, lord it over others. And he said, it must not be this way among you. Like, you know, if we think we're the spiritual ones, we need to be serving others. We can't be lording it over others. And then Matthew 23, I guess I didn't write down the verse number. Again, the greatest among you will be your servant. And Mark 10:43, and then Mark 9:33-50. I wanted to turn to 33-50. I wanted to read that passage. Then they came to Capernaum. After Jesus was inside the house, he asked them, what were you discussing on the way? But they were silent, for they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. Now it seems that apparently they knew that Jesus did not think too highly of that subject or something, that they were silent. Or, you know, they might have already had previously known what he taught on it. After he sat down, he called the 12 and said to them, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the last of all and servant of all. He took a little child and had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. John said to him, teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us. But Jesus said, do not stop him, because no one who does a miracle in my name will be able soon afterward to say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. For I tell you the truth, whoever gives you a cup of water because you bear Christ's name will never lose his reward. If anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a huge millstone tied around his neck and to be thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than to have two hands and go into hell, to the unquenchable fire. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better to enter life lame than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. If your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other. I guess what's part of here, what stuck out to me was that the seriousness that is tied in with not offending other people. Like, he talks about cutting off your hand, your foot, and taking out your eye. And that's right after he says, you know, like John was, or maybe even like here where John, you know, he said, hey, like, you know, this guy, was, you know, he doesn't walk with us, you know, and so we told him, you know, he needs to stop. And that's kind of, you know, what I would say, I kind of came to the realization, like, we view or it's easy, I would say, for myself to view myself as like, you know, I'm part of the best church, and I'm like here, and you know, these other people, like, yeah, they're Christians maybe, but you know, kind of hold them at arm lengths or something. And so that just really stuck out to me, like, you know, how that was. It seemed to me like that was connected, you know, with John telling, like, hey, like, you know, look at these guys, like, they're just big losers, you know, because they don't walk with us. But then Jesus goes on to say that if you cause someone, you know, to sin, that, you know, it'd be better, you know, better to cut off your hand or your foot or eye. And also, I guess, another thing that ties in kind of with this would be a point that I might bring out later, is about the be at peace with each other. So, all right. And then another verse would be in Luke 9:46-48. And then Luke 22:24-27, I also wanted to read. Let's see. A dispute also started among them over which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. So Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. Not so with you. Instead, the one who is greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is seated at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is seated at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." And I think one thing, like, you know, right along those lines is the, like the, how would I say it? Ritual tradition of like washing each other's feet. Like the idea is that you're saying, I'm your servant. And I really like that analogy, or, you know, that gesture or whatever. And I want to make sure that, or I want to serve my fellow Christians, wherever they are. So that was, let's see, I guess that was mostly what I kind of had on that subject of how we need to serve one another and not think, or how should I say, that was the theme or the idea that I learned while on this trip, like meeting with, you know, the people there in Africa. You know, they're quite different than us here, and there in Bangladesh, like some of the people there, I don't think that it's, like I would say, it's not wrong to point out things that we see that are wrong, but we need to be very careful not to have our ideals pushed on other people. Or, you know, to think that, hey, I've got it figured out, you know, you'll eventually, you know, become like me. And so now I just had a few more things here that I wrote down, and this would be something that's, I guess, been kind of a burden on me, I would say, and it kind of, I feel it kind of ties in with this other subject as well. So 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to agree together and to end your divisions and to be united by the same mind and purpose. And then 1 Corinthians 3 verse 1. So brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but instead as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready. In fact, you are still not ready, for you are still influenced by the flesh. For since there is still jealousy and dissension among you, are you not influenced by the flesh and behaving like unregenerate people? I guess that I just want, like, I did what, I mean, I don't know, I guess as we all know, you know, there's some, there, people will have conflicts, but if conflicts, like, we need to work on these things. We cannot have conflicts with other people, and I feel like having an elite spirit just does not lend to repairing conflicts. Because, you know, it says think higher of your brother than yourself. I can't quite think how it's worded now, but something kind of to that effect. And then another verse would be 1 Corinthians 3:18. Guard against self-deception, each of you. If someone among you thinks he is wise in this age, let him become foolish so that he can become wise. I guess what I want to, or what I took from that is that we can think we are wise, but it's good to remember that, you know, what we think may not be what's actually the truth about it. And as some people have put it, that, you know, we need to become the fool to become the savior or whatever, or maybe not exactly the savior, but we need to be willing to I want to be willing to put myself out there to be examined by others, because if I just hold back on, you know, what I think is wise, or my thoughts about other people, and there's no room for criticizing. Like, people cannot input on that. But if I'm like, you might say, a fool, and just speak, not that you have to be unwise in what you speak with people, but that you share your heart, then you open yourself to criticism and improvement. Because then people can, you know, speak into your life. And that's something that I want to be very aware of myself, because I see tendencies like that in me to want to maintain a good image, or you know, not be willing to just lay it down and if it makes me, you know, be a fool, then so be it, you know. And then here another verse, 1 Corinthians 4:16. I encourage you then, be imitators of me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you. And then I skipped some. He will remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach them in every church. And I guess what that verse there, I was just thinking, like, you know, we can follow people as they follow Christ. Like, that needs to be our goal, is that we don't follow people because, you know, they are whatever it might be. You know, intelligent, smart, wealthy, you know, are able to explain things, or whatever you want to put in there. But it needs to be, we follow someone, or follow the things in people that are Christ-like. And then here was another verse that I wrote down, 1 Corinthians 6:5. I say this to your shame. Is there no one among you wise enough to settle disputes between fellow Christians? And I guess I just, you know, want to take that really to heart. Like, you know, am I really that stubborn in ways that I do not, you know, take to heart what other people would tell me, or, you know, maybe there is no one, not enough wisdom, you know, amongst us to resolve disputes and stuff. But I mean, are we that dead? Do we have that little of the Spirit of God here that issues cannot be resolved? I mean, I guess in some ways I almost feel like if I have an issue with someone, you know, I should be doing everything in my power to resolve that and be at peace as much as possible. And yeah, I want to be really, really aware of that in my own life, because it's very easy to think, oh, the other person, you know, he's done the wrong, or, you know, it's the other guy doesn't understand, or and maybe many other ways as well. Yeah, so what I learned, I would say, from this trip is that I need to be very aware that I'm just a human. I'm not something special. I could fall away just like many people have fallen away. And that I need to be very careful how I judge other people, because there's different cultures. There's people think differently, people read differently. And for myself, I want to, if I make a judgment, I don't want it to have it based, or I want it to be grounded in Scripture. Because I don't see any other way how I can, which I think we still need to be careful, even if we say it's grounded in Scripture, because it's our interpretation of Scripture. But that we, you know, we're open to talk and get input from other people and other perspectives. So that's kind of what I had to share about that. And
Yeah, I wanted to say I appreciated your opening, Walter. And it made me think about King David. I think one of the most courageous prayers I've ever heard a man pray was when King David asked the Lord to teach him to know how frail he was. You know, if you just think about it, like King David, he wanted to know how frail he was, like he was struggling with knowing how frail he was. And he had a lot of things to be I'm not sure how to describe it, but he was probably tempted with a lot of thoughts of how wise he was and how strong he was, and he even numbered the people. But he was asking the Lord in secret, you know, Lord, teach me to know how frail I am. I just think it's a real brave and courageous thing to do. I had this thought when you were talking too. I'm not sure if I can grasp it again, but it was something like the brave and the courageous, they'll make themselves vulnerable and go into battle knowing that they could die, but it's only there that you can get the victory. Yeah, I'm not sure how that fits in, but it was kind of what I was thinking. But I appreciated it. Thank you. God bless you. I'm glad you're back.
Amen. Welcome back also from Robert. Yeah, the elite, you know, don't think it's a unique problem to you, Brother Walter. A Jewish Christian would think they're better than a Gentile Christian. Asians think they're more superior to whites. Blacks think they're superior to whites, or just anyone. Mexicans feel they're superior. This is a common thing. Every race thinks they are it. But remember, all flesh is grass. Well, all flesh is grass. That's 1 Peter. And in fact, 1 Peter 5 ends with, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. In fact, God, I just say, he resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So grace is unmerited favor. Give me a break. You can get grace by being humble, and that's merited. It's also unmerited, but it also can be merited. But anyway, not to just jump on Calvinists. But anyway, the only thing you didn't mention, I thought you might, come to me, all you who labor and humble. Come to me, all you who labor in a heavy land. Jesus is the better example than the apostles, or Second Philippians. I mean, Philippians 2, right? Him being the form of God, humbled himself. The Lord be magnified.
Yeah, thanks, Walter. I really appreciated that as well. Part of my testimony, and one that I think I've heard, I can think of one other guy in particular, but I think I've heard it more than once. You know, when I first would have turned to God, I would have run with people that, in general, would have been considered to have high standards of morality and refraining from worldliness. And they also had real elite attitudes. And then at some point, I recognized that how bad that elite attitude was. And so I cast it away. But with it, I cast away the whole idea that there was such a thing as better ideas of morality or better ideas of refraining from worldliness. And then after a while, realized, you know, recognized that God does have high standards in lots of areas of our lives. And I think the journey that we're all on is maintaining the two of those things, you know, a lack of this elitist attitude without letting go. Like I think that's one of the biggest arguments against. It's against doing good, godly, unworldly things. It always gets lumped in there. Oh, you think you're better than others, and so you know we're stuck in this place of conceding and admitting and that there is there are better things, and we're supposed to be striving for those better things without holding others at arm's length. We are able to recognize you know who we're supposed to, did they say whosoever would be great among you, like we ought to be in that category of being somebody who would be great. We ought to want to be great. There's such a thing as great. And, you know, like many other things, he just changes. Like, you guys think this is great, but let me tell you what is really great. And he says that because he's trying to appeal to people who want to really be great. We want to really be rich. We want to really be fruitful, but, you know, and we want to really be wise, but not wise, as it says, in the things of this world, but have that true wisdom. And I think that's something that exists. I think it's something we should recognize, and we should be striving for. And you just can't help but, if you understand what those real riches are and what that real fruit is, you can't help but notice that others, you see somebody else who's very fruitful, and very, once you learn what those riches are, you're like, whoa, that is a truly fruitful person. That person is truly rich in the things of the Spirit. And I think vice versa, we can also recognize that somebody else possesses less. Somebody else says, oh, they haven't quite learned that lesson yet. That I have learned, you said, where is Walter? Oh, there he is. I keep looking that direction. Yeah, you presented this scenario where you think, oh, I've learned this lesson and they just haven't learned it yet, but I think they will. Like, I don't see how there's something wrong with that. Like, I think we often consider that like as a person having a bad attitude. Oh, I'm great, and someday you'll be great like me. But if there are such thing as lessons to be learned, and God's teaching us lessons, and we're learning lessons, and we see someone else who has not learned that lesson yet, I mean, I think we should maintain, you know, humility. We're not better. There's a sense in which we're not better than them, but obviously, there is such a thing as better, and we're all trying to be better, and God's pleased when we make better choices. But we ought not think highly of ourselves, I guess is what I should say, just because of that thing. Like you said at the beginning, well, maybe you didn't say it, but I thought it. If you've you were acknowledging these ways that you recognize godly fruit in your life, but we need to recognize, like, well, but God gave me the vineyard. God gave me the hands to bear to work, to labor. He gave me all of my calories along the way, like, and I could be like anybody else, and anybody else could be fruitful if they'll just do these things. Like, there's no reason to think highly of yourself, but I feel like in an effort to not think highly of ourselves, we despise fruit, and we say there's no such thing as fruit, or there's no such thing as being being fruitful. So we're, anyway, just trying to maintain this righteousness, you could say, coupled with humility. And then we should never be high-minded, but then we need to make a distinction in the needs that others have. There are some needs or shortcomings or lack of fruitfulness in others that are to be born with, and there are others that I don't think are to be born with. There's only one kind of one level of Christianity that you said there, and one of the requirements of that level of Christianity is love. And if somebody's failing to love, you know, we have to, at some point we have to make a judgment. You know, Jesus came as a servant for sure, and yet he pointed out sin and he rebuked, and anyway, we just have to, even if we have to rebuke or something like that, we shouldn't be high-minded. But I think there's some things to be born with, and give other space to grow, and then there's certain behaviors and attitudes that are not to be found among us. We absolutely have to let them go.
Yeah, Walter. Yeah, thank you. I guess I just had one thought, because this is a really good topic. I think it's really important that when we have these sorts of things, that we, you know, we don't push it outside of our circles and see how others think higher than others, and we should like apply it to ourselves and just try to best we can be sober minded about it. And I don't know, just a thought I had. I think on one obvious level, if we do have a thought of being better than somebody else, whether it's somebody among us or somebody out there, quote unquote, that's pretty obvious. There's no self-deception there unless you just ignore it. But maybe it seems like to me that if we don't think that we think ourselves higher than others, maybe we should just examine how we treat others that aren't like us.
Yeah, I wasn't sure whether to mention this, but I think you, Walter, brings back thoughts about Bangladesh and some of the challenges that I wanted to bring out for people that haven't experienced being in another country like that. Someone might wonder, why would somebody be provoked to think of themselves in an elite way? And I think just the atmosphere of going to a country where people really esteem Americans really high, that's what causes it. I think what Robert said isn't just really very... That wouldn't be my experience. You go to Mexico, people aren't saying like, oh, you... They don't put down Americans and say Mexicans are the true race. Like, in these other places, they esteem Americans really high, and they'll see things about you like, wow, whether it be your skills, your knowledge, your possessions, like, wow, your Leatherman, your tools, whatever, these are all really cool. Everything about you is cool, and they lift you up. So it's very hard the way that those cultures can treat you. It just takes resisting those thoughts, and I appreciate what you said about serving them. I think that's a good way to combat that, to show them that we don't feel like we're higher, that we're not a higher level of Christianity, but we can get down and wash their feet. And I really wish we would have done that when we were there, but hopefully you found some opportunities to serve them.